All right. Amen. Guys, last week we started this brand new series called Parables, Jesus the Storyteller, and we looked at our first story where Jesus was telling a story about two people that owed their master money. It's the parable of two debtors. And so we use that story. We learned what true worship is all about. This morning, our story is a little different. We're in Luke chapter 11 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, please open them up to Luke chapter 11. I'm also going to ask you guys to take a bulletin. It's that red thing you saw when you came in. I don't think I grabbed one this morning. But Damien, wave that up for or there you go, Crystal Lee. That's that thing right there. If you open that up, it's got fill in the blanks. If you don't want to do that, please use our digital bulletin. We're going to ask either way that you take notes. We're studying the Word of God. When you study, you take notes. That's how it works. It helps, y'all. It helps us leave here understanding what we've heard. We give you questions to go home and to contemplate, to talk about with your family, maybe with your small group if you're in one of those. And so I am going to ask you to do that. I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word this morning. Our second story, I've titled it Ask, Seek, Knock. Some people call it The Friend at Midnight, but it is a great story. Let's pray before we jump in. Father, be glorified now. Jesus, when you were preparing the disciples to go away, you said, it's better that I leave you so that I can send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And they struggle with that. Man, what's better than Jesus with us? Well, God in you through the Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we recognize your role in our lives. You're our teacher. You're our guide. You're the presence of God in us. And you work through us. You empower us. And you promise in your word, God, that anyone that lacks wisdom can ask for it and you will give it generously to them. And so right now, God, we ask for wisdom to understand these stories of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come take your place in our pulpit. Teach us about this Jesus from the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So guys, quickly, I just want to remind you what a parable is. It's a short story that is used to teach a deeper spiritual truth or to teach a moral lesson. And Jesus was a master storyteller. And when he would tell these stories, it was always kind of like a double-sided coin, okay? And so they were intended for the people that were seeking God. These stories helped them understand God better. But to the people that were hardened to the things of God, they actually missed the point. And that's why Jesus would often say, he who has ears, let him hear. And my prayer this morning is that we would have those spiritual ears as we read the Word of God together and study it this morning. Here we are, Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1. It says, he, speaking of Jesus, he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John also taught his disciples, he said to them, whenever you pray, say, Father, your name be honored, it's holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not bring us into temptation. He also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I don't have anything to offer him. Then he will answer from the inside and say, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up and give you anything. But I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he's a friend, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Here's the deal this morning, guys. I've got 3 points that have to do with this occasion and the story. Within that, then we find the model prayer, which is a lesson on its own. It's got 6 parts, and then we've got 3 application points. What I'm saying is we got a long way to go and a short time to get there, okay? So hang in there with me. We're going to be riding fast. We're going to be moving pretty quick. But I just want to start with this truth, guys. First point this morning, and it's that Jesus teaches us the right way to pray. Jesus teaches us the right way to pray. Now, I get it. A statement like that implies that there is a wrong way to pray. And guess what? There is. Right? There is a wrong way to pray. Many people think that God is too busy for whatever they're going through. And so they don't even ask. They're like, well, God's just too busy. What I'm going through is not important to him. He's got other things, world hunger and wars. And so they don't pray. Well, that's a wrong way to pray. Not to pray is a wrong thing to do. Other people don't pray because they wrongly have a thought about God. We call that theology. And in their theology, they're going, God is sovereign. Well, that's right. That's in the Bible. God is sovereign. It means he rules over everything. But they say, well, yeah, because of that sovereignty, God has planned out all of my days. Well, that's right. The Bible actually says that too. Here's the wrong part. They say, well, if that's the case, then why should I pray? It's already done. Well, you should pray because God in his sovereignty told you to pray. Because God in his sovereignty planned to save you through the life of his son when you put faith in his son, and that would give you access to him, and that God told you to pray. That same God told you, if you don't, there's some things you won't have. You're not going to have them because you're not asking for them. That's all under the umbrella of the sovereignty of God. So here's one wrong way to pray is not to do it. And I don't care what the excuse is for not doing it, friends. I'm just going to tell you it's wrong. God wants you to pray. Okay? Another wrong way to pray, I would say, is to pray those timid prayers. You know those, right? Well, God, I guess if you're listening, I mean, if you can do anything about this, if you are able. Like, if God is able, what came out of you? Huh? If you can? Like, I don't know. I mean, God said, let there be light, and the whole world explodes out of nothing, right? I'm pretty sure he's able. I think he can get you a job, man. You don't have to say, if you're able. God, if you're able to work on somebody's heart, like, yes, that's what he does. He's in the business of working on hearts. And so listen, the Bible says we are to approach the throne of grace with confidence, in boldness. It says we're to pray in faith, believing that we will receive what we ask for. So praying in a timid way, that's not the right way to pray either. And then, of course, praying selfishly is not the way to pray either. That's a wrong way to pray. Again, the book of James says you don't have because you don't ask. It also says, and when you do ask, you ask with the wrong motives. You're praying selfish prayers, and that's not the way that God wants you to pray. So there is a wrong way to pray. So here's the story. This is the breakdown. The 12 are with Jesus. His disciples are with him, and he goes off, and they can see him, and they're listening to him, and Jesus prays to his Father, and they are like, whoa. Man, they're listening to Jesus pray, and they're like, dude, and like Jesus comes back, and they're like, Master, Lord, it's probably Peter, like, Jesus, and he's like, hey, can you teach us how to do that? Like, have you ever been in the presence of somebody that just, like, come on, you know you're not supposed to be jealous, but you're a little jealous of how they pray. Anybody? Anybody ever been there? I ended up in a Bible study, which eventually is how I got saved, but I wasn't a Christian in this Bible study, bunch of college students, and then they all went back to school after the summer was over, and they were looking for help on the leadership team, and they asked me because they thought I was a Christian. But I wasn't. But I went to these leadership team meetings. And listen, there was this girl in that room who was my friend. We'd gone out on double dates. She was dating a friend of mine. I was dating a friend of hers. And her name's Hope. She's my wife now. And man, she would pray in these meetings. And I had never heard somebody talk to God like that. Like, when I prayed, it was like, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Like, it was like that kind of prayer. It was, you know, like almost nursery rhyme-ish. And man, she just was like, dear Lord Jesus, I'm calling on you right now. And I was like, oh, I want that. Man, the disciples in a higher, holier way, they hear their Lord, our Lord and Savior pray. And they go, man, we want that. Man, we want to talk to God the way that you talk to God. Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? And he says, yeah. Pray like this. And he gives them the model prayer. Now listen, it's not that you can't say these exact words. You can. I think there are times for that. I know some of you that play football, you're going to do it before you go on the field. That makes total sense. Whatever. You know, I mean, it's fine. Like, and then you're like, let's go win it. And it's like, well, you just prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done. But it's fine. Let's win it, Tucker. No prisoners. It's great. But What Jesus is giving them is a model. So I want you to think of the model prayer kind of like this. These are steps you should include. Okay, so we're going to fly through these. There's six things. We talk about what is a right way to pray. So first and foremost, the right way to pray is to talk to God like a child talks to their parent. Teenagers, write this down. I'm not talking about teenage years. Because you guys don't say anything to us. How was your day? Huh? You just scroll, right? Just like whatever. Like, huh? But I don't mean teenage communication. I mean when you were younger communication. When my kids were younger and I would come home from work, it was, oh my gosh! They would run to me. It was awesome. And then they would tell me everything that had happened that day. And there was no screening as to whether or not I thought it was important. It was just like, and then I found a roly-poly and I stuck it in my ear. And then it wiggled its way out of my ear. And then, oh, this is what I ate for lunch. And after I ate that, I went to, like, and it, just everything you can imagine. It's great. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing, right? One of the hardest things for me when my dad died 8 years ago, one of the things I realized is that I did not just need my father for important things. I found myself just driving and something would happen and I would reach for my cell phone to call my dad and it was just about something random. Like I just wanted his thoughts on something and it like a light bulb went off in my head. That's supposed to be prayer. I'm supposed to want to talk to my father just about random things. Like, oh, wow. Wouldn't think, God, what do you think about that? Like, what are your thoughts on that? Could you, that's prayer. So first, the right way to pray is to talk to God as a child talks to her parent, talks to their parent. Second way, a right way to pray is to remember who it is you're talking to. So first point, talk to God as a child talks to the parent. The prayer began, our Father. And then it says, your name be honored as holy. And we tend to stick to that King James Version, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we focus on the word hallowed or holy, which is important. It means separate, set apart, pure, able to cleanse. That's great. God is all those things. But there's in doing that, in focusing on holy, we miss the your name part, which in Jesus' culture was big, was a big deal, because somebody's name in context referred to a person's entire character. That's what it meant. Your name be honored. Your name. Like all of who you are, God. Your whole character. Everything that I know about you. Everything that the word reveals to me. So when you're praying your name, you're saying, God, I'm calling on all that you are. I'm not just calling on a little bit. God, I'm not just calling on your holiness and your justness, but I'm calling on your goodness, and I'm calling on your faithfulness, and I'm calling on your lovingness, and I'm calling on your kindness, right? I'm calling on you as provider. I'm calling on you as protector. I'm calling on you as my refuge and my strength, the one that never leaves me or forsakes me. I'm calling on that God. That's how I'm praying. You see the difference? It's not just about God's holiness. It's about all that God is. And if I want to pray the right way, I have to remember who I'm talking to. God is able. Man, he is able. Right? Thirdly, if I want to pray the right way, I got to pray with a kingdom perspective. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Right? If you ever wonder if you're praying for God's kingdom or the world's kingdom, go read Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. What God says is blessedness. It's called the Beatitudes, radically different from what we think is important. The kingdom of God is probably upside down from what, especially American culture or American Christianity even has told you what's important. This is a big deal. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but your will be done. It's a kingdom perspective. Fourth, if we want to pray rightly, we have to ask for what we need to get through the day. Ask for what you need to get through the day. All right? Notice the word underlined, need. That does not say want. I love you. It says need. And then notice the next one. It says through the day, not through the month, not through the year, not for your life. All right? This is going to rock your prayer world, but I want you to write it down, okay? Write this down. Prayer is not an act of spiritual hoarding. Here's the second half of that. Ready? It's manna. Prayer is not an act of spiritual hoarding. It is not a collection for the week or for the month or for the year or for your life. Prayer is about gathering manna for the day, daily provision. You remember the Israelites in the wilderness, and God gave them manna. And if they collected too much, what happened? got rotten. It was gross. They could only take what they needed. Prayer is about saying, God, here's what I need today. Today. Fifth, we should pray that God would forgive us and help us forgive others. Right? That's the next part. And forgive our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. One of the greatest promises of the Bible, y'all, is that God forgives sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here's the thing with God's forgiveness. If we receive God's forgiveness always comes with an expectation. And the expectation is that if we receive the forgiveness of God, we must share that same forgiveness with other people. This is the book of Ephesians. Listen to what Paul writes. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. It comes with an expectation. And y'all, if we are unwilling to forgive others, this is why we pray about it. If we're unwilling to pray to forgive others, Jesus says that God won't forgive us. Matthew 6:14 through 15, for if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father won't forgive your offenses. So Jesus, how do I pray? This is an important part of it. God, forgive me and help me to forgive others. Last part, this model prayer, right way to pray that's important. We have to pray that God would help us flee from temptation. God would help us flee from temptation. Y'all, I love you. You are in a spiritual battle. Wake up. Wake up. I mean it. I know you're not even thinking it. You think, oh, it's summer. Thank God. Oh, we're about to go on vacation. Oh, and then the kids got to go back to, what do I do with the kids? Like you're in a spiritual battle right now. And it doesn't matter what the date on the calendar is. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Every morning when you wake up, you are in the middle of a spiritual battle, which is why the Bible says that daily you are to put on the full armor of God. Because we have a very real enemy, the devil, that wants to destroy us. He is a tempter. He wants to lead you out of the presence of Jesus and into an encampment of sin and shame and doubt and isolation. That's the truth. So you got to pray. And part of your daily prayer is, God, help me avoid that. God, help me see that. Help me see it for what it is. Help me call it for what it is. Help me choose not to walk in that stuff. God, help me flee from temptation. You will be tempted 100%. I want to challenge you. I read a book about 2 years ago that changed the way that I pray in the morning. And it said, you got to include this. Jesus did. It's important. And it'll unlock some stuff for you. So I want to challenge you to pray the right way. So that's the right way to pray. All right? But that's a sermon in itself. We went quick. But that's actually not our lesson today because we're studying the stories of Jesus. So his disciples say, hey, Jesus, oh my gosh, that was so good. Man, can you teach us to pray the way that you pray? And he gives them a model prayer. But then after giving them a model, he then shares with them a story. He tells them a story. And that's what I want to talk to you about now. So second thing I want you to see this morning is that Jesus tells us to be bold and shameless in our prayers. Jesus tells us to be bold and to be shameless in our prayers. Again, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to start in verse 5. After teaching them the model, it says, he also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight. This is the story. And he says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me. I don't have anything to offer him. Then he will answer from inside his door, don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children and I have gone to bed. I can't get up and give you anything. But Jesus says, I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he's a friend, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And then Jesus says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. So Jesus doesn't stop his lesson on prayer after giving the disciples a model. He then tells them a story that illustrates the approach that they should use when using that model. right? You're like, here's how you should pray. Now listen, I'm going to tell you a story. All right, so I gave you the model for prayer, but this story illustrates the approach of how you should use that model. And he says, you should be bold. And you should be bold. It's verse 8, Luke 11, 8. It says, I tell you, even though he won't get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. That phrase there is interesting. Shameless boldness. It's one word in the Greek, and it only appears in this section of Scripture. It's nowhere else in the Bible. That's important. Ding, ding, ding. We're studying the Bible. We pull up a lexicon. We see a word. We're like, what is that word? So sometimes it gives you a list of, here's all the other places you could read what that how that word's used. And so you go to all those other places you're reading. Oh, okay, it gives me a better idea. But when you run across it and there's no other places it exists, it's important. That's also important. It's like, hey, this is an important word. And so the word can refer to being persistent to the point of almost annoying somebody. But that's not really what the word means. The word, quite literally, should be translated to be without shame. To be unashamed. And to be unashamed in what? Well, Jesus tells you in the next two verses, right? Verse 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask, and it'll be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Like, we should be unashamed in our continuing asking God for things. Seeking things from God. Knocking. And asking him to open. We should be unashamed in this. And so y'all, that's the approach that you apply to the model. So I don't know, this is crazy concept. Let's try it. Sound good? It's church, y'all are like, we don't do that. Apply the word? What? So let's just walk through the model together. Let's see what it means to be unashamed, right? So we just start with our Father, right? I should never be ashamed to talk to God about anything. There is nothing too small or insignificant in your life. There's nothing too dirty for God. Like, he's your Father, man. You should be unashamed to go, Dad, it's me. Dad, I need you. I know I just talked to you, but I'm calling on you again. Dad, help. You should be unashamed in your approach because he is your Father. You are his child. I should be unashamed. I always have an audience with him. I should never be ashamed to ask for what I need and be honest about what I need. Now, the Bible says a lot of times I'm going to ask for what I want. God doesn't promise what I want. Sometimes he gives it to me just because he's gracious. But I should never be ashamed to ask God for what I need. God, I need help today. God, I need wisdom today. God, I need to know how to deal with this situation today. I should be unashamed and coming to God with a need because God is able. He is never too busy for me. I'm calling on your name, God. And I know who you are, right? You are not just holy and just, but you're also kind and loving. You're my provider, my protector, my refuge, my strength. You're the one that never leaves me or forsakes me. God, I'm calling to you, and I'm unashamed in this call because that's who you are. That's who you are. And so I'm going to keep coming unashamed, unabashed, asking, seeking, knocking because he is God, right? He's my Father, but he's also God. I should never be ashamed to come to God and confess my sin. Ever. Whoo, church. Here's another sermon within the sermon. Listen, God knows you. He's been knowing you for a while. He knew you before your mama knew you. He knew you before your mama thought about you. God knew you way, way back in the day. God knew you, and he knew that you would have a sin problem. And he's not shocked by your sin. In fact, he knew it so much that he sent his son to be the solution for that sin problem. And Jesus came and died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins so that we could have a relationship with God. That doesn't shock, like, God knows. And so I want to tell you what it means to be unashamed when it comes to confessing sin. It means that when I fail, I do not hide. I do not isolate myself from God. I do not convince myself that I am too dirty for God because isolation is the playground of the devil. And so instead, when I fall, I run to the Father. I don't wait. I don't beat myself up. Oh man, you're just such an idiot. You're so bad. Yeah, you are. Which is why Jesus came. God, here I am. Cleanse me. Right? I run to the Father and I'm covered in mud and muck and mire, and He's not looking down on me going, oh, you dirty one, you get away from me. He's going, come to me and let me cleanse you, my child. You are meant for more than this. Come to me. That's prayer. That's prayer. I should be unashamed to run to God in the middle of my failings because He's my Father and He knows me and He's the one that can make me clean. You following me, y'all? It's transformative when you think, oh, that's how God wants me to pray? God wants me to run to Him in my greatest mess? God's not going, ooh, ooh, just step back a little bit. We do that in church, don't we? Somebody runs to us in the middle of their mess, and we're like, whoa, little much. Wipe those feet. Just clean these floors. God's like, come here, baby, come here. I got you. I love you. Should never be ashamed. Covered, God, you're able. We are supposed to pray like we're His kids, to talk to Him about everything. Never be ashamed of who we are, what we've done. Now listen, we feel guilty. That's what makes us go, God, I need you. Guilt leads us to repentance. God, I don't want this anymore. But shame, isolation, that's from the enemy. He honestly, how many of you heard that voice before? You're not good enough for God. You've heard it in your head. Come on, be honest. Yeah, that's the devil. That's the devil. You're not good enough for God. God's going, what, huh? What, are we speaking different languages here? I love you. I wouldn't have done that if you weren't mine, right? It's the truth of God's word it's replacing. I think that's why the author of Hebrews writes this in Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. With boldness. It's not pride. That's not hubris. That's a relation of a child and a father. I mean, come on, y'all. I think the best illustration I could give, I mean, that we could understand, right? So you imagine, I don't know, the President of the United States and the Secret Service. No, you can't go in there. You know who can go in there? This kid, anytime. You got a little kid, like, I want my daddy. I don't care. I just want my dad. Yeah, he can always have access to me. That'd be my White House. No, I don't care. You guys get out. What do you want to talk? There's a roly-poly outside. And I stuck it in my ear. Oh, this is awesome. All the rest of the world can wait. Right? Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we might receive. And what do we receive? Judgment? You guys reading the verse? So that we might receive condemnation? Is that what's on the screen? What does it say? That we might receive mercy and find grace. Because He's our Father. That's what prayer is about. Last thing I'm going to share with you. I got to let you go. Jesus assures us that God is a good Father who meets our greatest needs by giving us His Spirit. Jesus assures us that God is a good Father who meets our greatest needs by giving us His Spirit. I'm in verse 11. Jesus says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Jesus' point here, of course, is that God is good. He's always loving. Earthly fathers are not. He's going, God's better than that. But Jesus knows us. He knows that we're going to have a tendency to just ask for stuff. Because we think, a lie. We think stuff is going to fix it. Come on. That's your prayer life, right? Be like, God, I just need a little more money. Lord, if I had a little more money, God, I know everything would be fixed. I know my mortgage would be paid off and I'd love my wife more and my kids would have everything that they need and I'd never struggle and I'd never stay up at night. And yet, when you read the Bible, the guys that have a bunch of money stay up at night figuring out if they could have more money. Because if you're not content with what you have now, you'll never be content. Right? And so Jesus, because He knows us, He goes, hey, I know that you guys are going to take this thing I've taught you, and you from the go are going to jack it up. from the jump, you guys are going to focus on the wrong things. But let me tell you, God is such a good Father. He's going to go above meeting your needs, and He's going to provide for you what you really need, and that's His Spirit. Because your greatest needs are spiritual needs, church. I'm going to say that to you again. I know that's not what you're thinking. I know you think, but no, my greatest need is just X amount more. My greatest need is that newer vehicle. My greatest need, because that's what I need to get to work so I can. No, your greatest needs are spiritual needs, church. And Jesus said, I'm going to, listen, you haven't even asked for it. But my Father, He's so good. He's going to provide for that. And so listen, I'm going away. This is the context of all Jesus' conversations. I'm going away, but I'll always be with you. God's going to put my Spirit in you. And there'll be power, there'll be wisdom, there'll be knowledge. Everything you need is going to be at your disposal. That's how good God is. So what do we do with this story about prayer? Okay, very quickly. Number one, we pray the right way. All right, so you got the model. You don't have to memorize the words. You know the components, right? You know the components. Talk to Him like a kid talks to his father. Call upon all that He is, right? Talk about your daily needs. Confess your sin. Ask for forgiveness. Ask Him to help you forgive others. Have a kingdom mindset, right? I mean, all these components. Ask Him to help you flee from temptation because we're in a spiritual battle. So all those things. So pray the right way. Number two, stop being ashamed to talk to God. Bold shamelessness. That's the phrase. Bold shamelessness. Man, never be ashamed to talk to God. My front two rows, three rows, y'all looking at me? Do not ever be ashamed to run to God with whatever you are thinking, whatever you're going through, whatever you are feeling. God is big enough for all that. He's big enough for your questions. Do not ever be ashamed to run to the Father. The enemy, his playground is isolation. His playground is you're a failure. You're dirty. God can't use you. God can't redeem you. Look at you. Every mistake, he's pointing down. He's stepping on you. He's pushing you down. He's got his foot on your neck and he's stomping it in. And you start to believe, well, that's who I am. This is where I belong down here. And God is like, no, you're mine. Come here. Let's talk about this. Let's have a reset. Let me purify you of all unrighteousness as if you've never sinned. You're mine. Let's go. You've got to run. You cannot be ashamed to talk to God about all of it. Adults, we got to lead. Parents, I love you. Some of you are struggling in your marriage. Some of you are thinking thoughts about that person God has put you with, but you are not talking to God about it because you think, well, God is just, no, man, you can talk to God about anything. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you. You need empowerment. You need wisdom. You've got to talk to God about everything you are going through. Last one, y'all. Boy, that sounds familiar. Didn't we just spend months talking about that? Abide. Keep in step with the Spirit. He gave us our greatest need, his spiritual need. Galatians 5. So I say to you, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't desire the things of the flesh, for they oppose one another. And the things of the Spirit are love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. Abide. Abide. I'm going to pray for you this morning. We got a bunch of stuff going on, so we got some announcements. Catherine's going to try not to eat it on her roller skates on her way in. Let's pray together, please. Father, we know that your word is alive and it's active. We know that it's sharper than a double-edged sword. We know that when we study it, it studies us back. And God, this morning we have studied what you had to say about prayer. Not just how we should pray, but the attitude that we should attack that model with, that boldness, that unashamed approach. God, help us have that. Father, right now I pray that if there's anyone here that does not have a relationship with you, they're not your kid yet, that they would have heard the message this morning about how your children can run to you, how they always have access to you, and they would say, I want that kind of access to God. today at the end of the service, they'd come up and talk to myself or to Kevin or to Catherine, and we'd be able to talk to them about how to have a personal relationship with you, God, by putting faith in your Son, Jesus. God, for the rest of us that are your kids, man, help this message sink in. Teach us how to pray. Do not let this be a Sunday morning, I heard it, and I left it here message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.